every single week. I put my freaking heart and soul into this. I don't go out there and laugh.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
It's not funny. Nothing's funny to me. I don't want to go out there and get embarrassed on Monday Night Football in front of everybody.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, we are 20 minutes away from the Blues pregame skate. Blues and Knights at 9 o'clock. We head to Vegas right now. Chris Kerber, Joey Vitale have found their way off the strip and up to the broadcast booth. What's up, fellas? Joey, is this your first look at that arena?
Yeah, you know, it's not as fun up here as it is on the strip, I have to say.
I thought you were going to say as it is
what are you
at Enterprise
about?
Center when we're all in there together.
Yeah, the strip was beautiful. No, in all seriousness, Chris, the rink is my first trip here, and the rink is phenomenal. I love all the outside stuff. People are playing cornhole. There's restaurants, and man, this is as advertised. This is an incredible, incredible show so far. We haven't got started yet.
And that's the thing, right? Curb's like a show, and then, you know, I think that the I don't want to say the cherry on top, but we're gonna visit. With Jesse Granger, who covers Vegas, coming up on our pregame skate, but he said, like, there was already the enthusiasm last year and obviously kind of the galvanization of what that organization meant for that city after the tragedy at the beginning of the year. And then, oh, by the way, you go all the way to the Stanley Cup final, and he said that the atmosphere has remained at playoff level up to this point of this season, even despite the start. I'm excited to see how many Blues fans are there. It seems like everybody's out there, boys.
Yeah, you know, this morning at the morning skate, I ran into some friends who made the trip. I have some family and friends out here who are witnessing the game. And right now we're looking at the arena here, and it's starting to kind of fill up. And we're seeing that blue, and it's standing out against these gray seats here, Chris. So I think we're going to have a good showing. As I was walking down the strip here tonight, up and down, I saw a lot of Blues hats, a lot of Blues jerseys. So we should have a good, decent little crowd here tonight.
Curbs, what you been up to?
Oh, nothing. Just hanging out. Went to the public library for the last 24 hours. Did some, you know, studying and learning on the Grand Canyon, and then just took a cab to the arena.
Wait, you went to the Grand Canyon?
No, I'm just kidding.
It's dry up here, Chris. You know, my hands are dry.
Give me, and this is the 6:15 show at 8:10. Give me maybe the most unexpected fun time that you've had in the city on the road, whether it be a restaurant or something random that you happened into or an off day. Give me maybe the sneakiest city for both you guys that you've had a great time in.
The sneaky, you know what? Columbus can be sneaky good.
Ooh, little college town, but a good sized city.
There's a good sized city.
Sneaky
we always
CBJ.
Seem to find some fun in Columbus. Yeah.
Yep, so what'd you do?
Well, we really didn't do anything, but we found a place where
good bar.
The vodka was really good. And, you know, and so Andy Murray, you know, I did my interview, put it at the end of a hockey stick so I didn't knock Andy Murray over the next morning, you know, and, you know, we had a good time. No, actually, most of these cities are pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the atmosphere here is what you would expect it to be because you happen to be right on the strip in Las Vegas. You know, Nashville, they build the arena right across from, you know, the whole block of bars that you know, kind of become the central, the entertainment hub of Nashville. So, you know, you expect to have those things. But in cities like Columbus, they built that arena district up. I think they did a terrific job of it there. I think what the Blues have done with trying to move some things inside and some of the limited space around that, you know, the building that was built has been good. So what's important is each of these cities finds their ability to, you know, create that entertainment niche with what they've got.
Joey, sneaky city on the road that you like, that
sneaky,
you are fond of?
Sneaky city for me, Chris Raby, I'm going to go with Philadelphia. Philadelphia, it's a colder city. I only ever been out there where it's been above 40, so it's always freezing, and a lot of attitude in Philadelphia.
Everyone's very polite, a lot of patience.
Oh, my God, Pittsburgh. I remember us losing that series, I think my fourth year, and we're leaving the rink, and it's daytime because it's a 12:30 NBC game. Game 6, we just lost. We're heading home. we're on the bus, and the parking lots and the streets are just flooded with flyers, and we're pulling out, and someone throws a full beer can at our window, cracks the window, and the bus driver starts taking off, and everyone else just followed suit. We just got absolutely murdered with full beer cans right at our bus, and there was about four or five cracks on that bus. So, yeah, they're a ruthless crowd, but a great city. There's Fogo de Chão, which is right by the Ritz over there, downtown Philly. That was always one of my favorite spots. It's an all-you-can-eat Brazilian steakhouse. The guys always had a great time there. And surprisingly, really, really good nightlife. If you can move past the attitude of the people sometimes, it's a really great city.
Now, I'll give you two from a minor league standpoint, okay? St. John's, Newfoundland.
I was thinking St. John's, Newfoundland.
St. John's, Newfoundland, they call it the Rock. You're out on an island. You're another, from a time zone standpoint,
Welcome to the Rock.
You're another half hour, right, east of the eastern time zone. And just a huge Irish population, great pubs and bars. And we got fogged in. So we were on a road trip up through St. John, New Brunswick, and then Fredericton, New Brunswick. And then, you know, we were on the plane. We go over to St. John's, Newfoundland. You play them. And then that night we were supposed to fly out, but the fog rolled in. So our head coach at the time, you know, was one of those that started to believe in the fact that players shouldn't go out after a game or you should control men. And so he tried to keep everybody in the bar of this Eastside Mario's, which was attached to the Holiday Inn, I think was the hotel we were staying at. And
it's basically
Rob
like Fogo de Chão in the Ritz, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly like it, really. And
Eastside
Rob Murray was our captain at the time. Rob Murray, now a head coach in the East Coast Hockey League. Rob Murray was our captain at the time, and it actually had played with our head coach when our head coach at the time was finishing up his career. Well, Rob finally walked over and he says, "Hey, quit trying to pull this you-know-what. I know we're not flying out of here tonight." And he grabbed the boys and everybody. We goes, book our rooms back up for another night, and everybody went out on the town. So St. John's, Newfoundland it could be a real sneaky good one. And I loved the trips up to Portland, Maine.
Oh,
you
yeah.
could find some great spots in Portland, Maine.
Oh, good eats up there.
Good bed and breakfast, good lobster. Yeah. They have that boat where you get crab and lobster on the boat. And there's a really good breakfast spot right on the pier. Man, I can't think. It was featured on Food Network. I remember seeing it a couple years down the road after I went there.
So we stopped. When you get on those buses, the bus drivers know every eatery along the road, right? So our bus driver decides, we were going up. This was a trip, again, up to Fredericton. So it was a nine-hour bus ride. And he decided, we'll stop in Portland, Maine for some lunch. Well, he pulls off the road at Melissa Gilbert's Chart House. So Melissa Gilbert from Little House of Prairie fame. Little House on the Prairie, all right?
Nothing.
So, yeah, I understand. You probably don't know that. But your kids are eventually going to probably figure out who it is. So anyway, very famous actress. All right, so we pull up in there. And we had a big defenseman. His name was Dan Folk. A huge, big defenseman. And we got a six-hour bus ride after we stop in there to eat. And Dan Folk says, he goes to the bathroom, and his food was delivered while he was in there. Now, imagine just a busload of hockey players coming into a smaller place. So you got just these four top tables. Everybody's sitting around. Some big men. Dan's like, he was 6 foot six. He was a former first-round draft pick of the Phoenix Coyotes at the time. And he says, "Hey, fellas, where's my food?" And the guys are looking at him at his table going, "You got your food in front of you." "Seriously, guys, we got a six-hour bus ride. Where's my food?" Dan, you got it right in front of you. And he's starting to create a stink. Okay, so part of my job was also the kind of manage, you know, little traveling secretary part of time to time. So I leaned over to Dan and said, "Dan, quit creating a stink. It's embarrassing. What's the problem?" He goes, "I want the rest of my food." I go, "What did you order?" And he points over to the table, you know, the sandwich sign, and says, "I got the special, the half ham and cheese and a cup of soup." And sitting in front of him is a half ham and cheese and a cup of soup. Well, he thought, this might be why he never really played in the NHL. I'm not sure the Wunderlich test got him, right? He thought half the sandwich was ham, half the sandwich was cheese. You put it together and you had a whole sandwich. And, okay, so we had a trainer, Ralphie Calvin. He's called him the old goat. No joke. I mean, Ralphie did like he was the equipment manager for over 3,000 games, right? He was doing some stuff with the team when Eddie Shore was still around, and Ralphie sat on the bus because we had 6 hours, and he And he just turned and looked at Dan, and Dan was just ready to snap and kill him, because for an hour and a half after we got back on the bus, Ralphie just stared at him, shaking his head, but just in disbelief of what had just happened. So,
oh man.
Sometimes you have some bright
half
moments
ham, half
like
cheese.
That.
You guys mentioned lobster, and obviously fantastic. However, there are certain foods for me that cross the threshold of, no matter how delicious, sometimes the effort is just a little bit more than the payoff. And I almost feel this way about wings, because I love wings, but I love them in the privacy of my own home. If I'm out, they're a hassle. I look like a fool. I get the wings all over myself. And there are some foods that are just, I don't know, the bang not necessarily worth the buck.
Okay, so wait, did I told you about the ribs and the white tablecloth.
You did I tell yeah,
did
yep.
we do that on the last 6:15 show?
That. We did.
Okay. Now
Carson's Chicago. Shout out.
Yeah, right. Here's a heck of a lobster story for you. Jeremy Rutherford in Denver. Okay. First off, you ordered a lobster in Denver, not a steak. Okay, so let's just start with that. All right. But we're at Bob's
Chop
House.
Where did they get
it from?
Like melted snow on the side of a...
This was an amazing story where this guy basically bought everybody dinner, right? Bernie Federico and Kelly Chase are talking to this guy in the hotel. We're waiting to find out if we're going to go straight back to the airport because the snowstorm's coming, and they were going to cancel the game. They decided not to do that. And they go, well, we're going to go over to Elway's for dinner. Guy goes, you don't go to Elway's. You go right across the street here to Bob's. Come over here. I'll introduce you to him. So he goes over there, and this guy says, hey, introduces Chaser and Bernie to the maitre d' and says, here, and the first $1,200 of their dinner's on me. Okay, so we had a group of like 12, 13 guys go over there, and this guy paid for like $1,200, but just he ended up being a hockey fan from Canada, right? And so we all go over there, and Jeremy – I'm sure the story that I'm telling is on the air right now is going to get back to him, but he's heard it plenty of times, okay? Right? Jeremy beats the pot, all right? Everybody's kind of ordering the steaks, whatever. Bernie's ordering the wine. It's terrific. Jeremy beats the pot. The special was a 4-pound lobster. Well, you know, the larger the lobster gets, the tougher the meat is. Sometimes the bigger the lobster, it doesn't mean it's any good. So then he says, well, I'll order the 4-pound lobster. Well, okay. Well, the waiter says, well, how did you like it cooked? You want it broiled, boiled, steamed? And I looked at Jeremy. I said, dude, you want it boiled or steamed? You know, I've lived in the Northeast for a while, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I can tear apart a lobster like a surgeon, right? And he goes, I'll have it broiled. I said, no, you don't want it broiled.
Broiled?
You get it broiled, the meat's going to stick to the shell. You want it steamed or boiled? He goes, no, I want it broiled. I go, you don't want it broiled. Well, he gets it broiled. This lobster comes out on a huge platter. I mean, it's a 4-pound lobster.
That's gotta be embarrassing.
Okay.
Oh.
And not only that, but it's broiled, and he is sitting there with a fork just kind of digging it out like he is just trying to scrape it off of concrete.
Oh.
And we're sitting there just putting it in a juicy, Colorado-raised beef, which is what you should be eating in Denver.
But he's not going to admit that he messed up.
Yeah, no, he never did. So I've never let it live to down that, one, he ordered the 4-pound lobster in Denver, but two, he decided to order it broiled.
That's what about pistachios, Chris Raby? I love pistachios, but, I mean, I can't handle going through them. They take too long, and, my fingers, the thumbs start to break a little bit, and I get, stuck in my nail.
You're bleeding by the end of it?
I'm bleeding, and then you can eat one at a time.
It's the most expensive nut.
And that's the other thing. It's expensive. Like, if I'm paying $10 for a little jar of pistachios, can you at least crack them for me?
No, that's like at the Cardinals games.
Cardinals, open, but they're not, full.
Cardinals games up in the press box, they got the bags of the full peanuts because you're at a ball game, you eat peanuts, and I love to eat a good bag of peanuts, but by the end of it, it looks like I, took a table saw and was trying to fashion a new armoire. I've got dust all over myself. I'm probably sending kids into allergic shock the section below. It's just, it's not worth it sometimes. There are some
of
those
foods. Do you eat the shells? See, I eat the shells sometimes on those.
I will, every sixth peanut, I'll just go full peanut.
Right.
Just eat the whole thing.
Now, I think that unshelled nuts. I knew you were going to do that. And popcorn, believe it or not, could end up being two of the messiest snacks. It's very difficult to eat popcorn without something falling to the ground.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you should. I mean, I've seen colleagues leave a bag of popcorn and it looks like a crime scene where they were just sitting?
Well, there's a way to eat a popcorn. Box of popcorn at the movie theater. You get your popcorn, and then you get your Milk Duds. And then you open the Milk Duds and you dunk them in the big bowl of popcorn. And then every now and then you're going through that popcorn in the movie and you're going to get like a nice juicy chocolate nugget to go with that popcorn. And there's nothing like it. That's how you
buy it. I got to pull this up for you here real quick, okay? Because when we were out here in Las Vegas last year, I went and I saw Ron White, okay? Just a terrific comedian. And so I was on my own. I went in. I bought a ticket. Oh, yeah. I ended up next to someone that was a little bit on the big side, okay?
Lucky you.
So, I mean, Southwest would have made them buy two tickets, okay, is really where it was. Well, this person, prior to the show, had stopped at the concession stand, and this person had popcorn and Milk Duds, and had that combination.
Smart lady.
But as you can see by this photo that I snapped, it was a one-handed death grip on the popcorn and the Milk Duds. And then when Ron White decided to get into his Golden Corral routine, talking about heavy women, I was scared to death to laugh, so I didn't get the forearm shiver.
I thought you were going to say she got a little turned on.
She's doing it right, though.
I will say this. Human physiology? Laughter relaxes fat. Laughter relaxes fat.
That's why. Okay?
The more laughter that was going on, the more I was leaning into the lap of the person sitting next to me, and we finally had to do it.
Big friend.
So don't broil your milk duds with the popcorn.
You got to throw it in there. It's unbelievable. I never was a big fan of it, but now I can never have popcorn without it like that.
All right, boys.
Okay, but the Milk Duds stick to your teeth.
I know.
That's another high maintenance food stuff. All right. Take a breath. Scrape the Milk Duds out of your teeth. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. It's Chris Kerber and Joey Vitale. It's the 6:15 show at 8:26. Blues in Vegas coming up. The pregame skate starts at 8:30. We're back in a moment to get ready for hockey in KMOX.